I truly believe that a good sales manager is a benefit to a company, and there's not a ton of amazing sales managers out there. And there is a list of traits. There is a list of traits that would really help sales managers understand how to be better at what they do.
Every single message you deliver is really a sales call. Either you are selling or being sold. Salespeople love to brag about their skills. And the truth is, your success in closing sales depends on your skills, your abilities, and finding the right training. And the great news is, you have come to the right place here at the How to Sell Show with your hosts, Dale Bell and Scott Silvenbell. And be sure to join the party at howtosell.live and download your copy of The 10 Common Mistakes Salespeople Make.
Aloha from Sacramento, California. Today's a good day. Figured today we're going to talk about sales managers and what I think are good traits in sales managers after working with quite a few of them and seeing the insides of companies and having conversations with salespeople. And I want to let you know, this is not the only list. This just happens to be my list. And, you know, I might make a part two of this in the future and say there was a couple things that I forgot. It's not meant to be preachy. It's just like, hey, here's some things that I found that are really good. So like if you're an employee and you're like, hey, do I have a good sales manager? I've never had really been in sales before. It's a good conversation for you to pick up on. If you are a sales manager, you know, put your ruler against it. Put like, where do I fit in this, these items? Where do I fit in these bullet points? And I want to, you know, from the very beginning, you know, this is something that's important to me. I want to see salespeople succeed. There's a reason why I have 2,500 YouTube videos. There's a reason why I put up a podcast every day. I want to see salespeople do good. I want to see them not struggle. You know, when I got started in 2002, 2003, there wasn't a lot of good sources of information for me. I mean, I had 25 books. I mean, I could hire a coach or a mentor. They didn't have all this fancy stuff like podcasts and YouTube channels and Skype and Zoom and different ways to video conference. They didn't have that. It was like, you know, you sank or you swam. Like you had to kill what you ate. And so on this list, I would say first and foremost is leadership skills. Lead by example. And I don't know how many times I've seen management say this is how you should act, and then behind the scenes they're nothing like that. They're a fraud. They're a folk. They're fake. They're a phony. I wanted to say phony, but it came out wrong. They're a phony, and you know people can tell. Like you know when somebody's phony and when somebody's not. Even the most undiscerning person can pick up when somebody's a fake and a fraud. And you know, if you're going to lead by example, I mean, it's all the things: trustworthy, loyal, going to do the right thing for the employee. And leading by example is one of those things where I see management really struggling. You know, they'll say one thing in front of the troops, and then you know, behind closed doors, they're completely opposite, and it creates a lot of friction because people can pick up on that that's going on. Congratulate people for good deeds. You know, being in sales for a lot of people to get the dopamine rush of closing a deal is good. What's really good is to be in front of a sales team and get recognition for closing more deals than anybody else, or recognition for coming out of a sales slump, or recognition for closing a really big deal, or recognition for closing a series of deals. Salespeople love recognition. You know, I used to always joke that I twisted my back trying to pat myself on the back and I had to go to the chiropractor. You know, people like to know that they're getting the recognition that they need. And people love to know that in front of a room, they got told you're doing a good job. Congratulations. I like what you're doing. Keep going. With that, above and beyond the public recognition is surprise bonuses. You know, if everybody knows what's going to happen, it takes away the surprise. But there's times where salespeople, they've done something good, they deserve a surprise bonus. And like, it doesn't have to be crazy. Once again, it's bragging rights. You have no idea the power of bragging rights in front of a room. And, you know, talking to business owners, they're like, well, I really don't want to bonus out somebody. And I'm like, you just let them go talk in front of a room for 2 minutes. And if they're accepting an award and you put some rules around it about things that can and can't be done, like, they can't be derogatory to other salespeople. you know, but they get their 2 minutes to accept an award every week. Like, oh my goodness. Like, salespeople will fight for that. You go to a trophy shop, you get a trophy made, and that every week for whatever category, you can't do too many of these. Like, if you got 10 salespeople on a team and you got 10 categories, it doesn't work. So you go get a trophy made, and then every week what happens is the top salesperson gets to go in front of the sales team, and they get to give their 2 minutes award speech acceptance and thank all the people and point to the sky and say, hey, you know, these are all the cool things that I was able to do. Being able to do that in front of a room is a big deal, and people love it. You know, let the sales team know that they're safe to ask questions. I don't know how many times I've seen salespeople who are brand new afraid to ask a question in front of a team because they don't want to look dumb. And the thing is everybody had to start out at the bottom. For the most part, most people are not naturally talented when it comes to sales. They have to go and they have to take the lumps. And so if you put something in place that says, hey, look, if somebody's got a genuine question, they want to learn, like they are trying to get better, there is no reason to make fun of that person. There's no reason to tease them. There's no reason to go after them. There's no reason to ball bust them. Like, if somebody really wants to know and they really are trying to be the best salesperson they can, let them go. Like, let them ask the question. And the second that they're attacked by other salespeople, you gotta go time out. Like, look, you know, you were in the spot at one time too. You have the ability to learn. You had the ability to get some time on calls. Like, let this person ask the question. You can't let somebody be scared, because eventually what happens is nobody will ask questions because everybody's like, that's a stupid question. How do you not know the answer? Now, if somebody comes in and they ask the same question over and over and over and over again, and they're not paying attention, that's let's pull that conversation to the side and we'll table it and bring you in for some extra training, because what will happen is it'll burn the sales team out. So if you have somebody who consistently just is not getting it and you got to dedicate a bunch of time to them, they should really come back into the office at a later time and not subject the entire team to the same question over and over and over again because they're not paying attention. You know, one of the things that I found to be pretty effective, and depending upon the state, the county, the jurisdiction, whatever you want to say that you're in, you may want to look at this and ask some questions. But bringing in a new salesperson, especially if leads are distributed from the company, every salesperson is thinking, if you can't close deals, you're taking money off the table from me. So one of the things that could be done is you bring new guy or new girl up in front of the room after they've had their training, after they've had their coaching, or if they've been out in the field long enough, and you say, here's 5 objections, you deal with them. And then you make the room vote. And then when the room looks and says, yep, I would put that guy out in the field. Yep, I'd put that guy out in the field. They can't complain. It takes away the ability for someone to complain and say, that guy's stealing leads. I'm like, time out. You voted the guy onto the island. You told him he could stay. You had your opportunity to say that I've got some concerns. And when you put this type of parameters in front of a team, one of the things that you find is the team is a lot more open to have conversations about what their struggles are, because like, it's out there in the open. What can they do? What can they not do? Everybody's stacking up that person against them in their head anyway. Anytime I see a sales guy, I'm like, ooh, that guy could beat me in this, or I could smoke that sales guy in this topic, that topic, this category. You know, for me, I'm always looking like, where can I improve by 0.5%, by 1%? Where can I get better? And not everybody's like that. So it's like, sometimes you have to improvise to make something like that happen. One of the things that I see managers really struggle with is they don't defend their team in front of everybody. And I look at basketball coaches, professional basketball teams, and there's times where the ref will make a bad call against a player and the coach will deliberately get thrown out of the game because that coach wants the players to see, like, hey, look, I'm in it for you. I'm going to get tossed out of the game. And the team usually rallies and goes out and scores a bunch of points. You got to fight for the team. And, you know, there's times where people want to play games with commissions. There's times where people want to play games with schedules. And you got to be like, hey, look, this is my department. This is my decision. This is what I'm going to do. If you don't like it, then you become sales manager. You become the person that's got to take the lumps for when the team's doing right and when they're doing wrong. I would add hold confidences to this list. You know, when you manage people, there's times where people come to you and they share with you some of the crazy things that happen in life, just life events in general. problems with the family, problems with significant others, problems with money, problems with addictions. And the second that you go out and you decide, hey, I'm going to tell everybody what's going on with this person, you've lost the confidence of the team. And everybody's going to know, I can't go to that manager and tell them what's really going on. You know, when I was in charge of people, I always told them, like, look, whatever you tell me, unless I have to report it, I'm not saying anything to anybody. The second you tell me something that I have to report by law, I got to say something. But if you tell me, hey, this is in private, this is in confidence, it's not going anywhere. And, you know, there was a point one time where somebody told me something and they didn't realize that they had told somebody else. And I got accused of saying something, and I tracked down the person who was the one that shared information they shouldn't have. And I said, look, you're gonna tell that you were the one that told and not me, because this had nothing to do with me. And that person went and apologized. That person went and said, hey, look, you know, Scott's always held confidences and even stuff for me. And it's a mistake to go out and tell people all the problems that are going on. There's stuff that I still know about people that I've never uttered a word about. Like years later down the road, I've never said, hey, you want to know what this guy or this girl told me? And anytime that somebody would come to me and like, hey, have you heard the dirt? I just played dumb. Oh, that's interesting. I didn't know that. I never added to it. So holding confidence is a big, big thing. Be willing to help close a deal. You know, I don't know how many times when I had a manager, if I needed help with something, that the phone wasn't answered, the email wasn't answered, the text wasn't answered. And sometimes it just needs that approval from somebody to say, yeah, it's all right. Not that I couldn't close a deal, but like I had been beyond where I could normally go. And it wasn't the cheesy closing process of let me call a manager. It was like, I'm legitimately past everything that I can do. When I make this call, are you moving forward? Because if you're not going to say yes, I'm not going to make the phone call. And there'd be times where I'd be hung out to dry. Like doing in-home sales, when I was in-home sales, sometimes I would be out on calls at 10, 11, 12, 1 o'clock in the morning. You know, late at night, early into the morning, I'd be on calls. And, you know, you got to close when you got the people, especially in that industry. They'll walk away from you. Bring in good trainers. You know, everybody's got their skill or what they think they're good at. And sometimes looking at trainers, they're not everything that they think that they are. Usually within about the first minute and a half, you can surmise from looking at somebody if they're good at what they do. And sometimes you're wrong. Sometimes you're pleasantly surprised. And sometimes you're just irritated with the caliber of people who think that they can train. And for me, anytime that I see somebody in front of a room, I'm like, okay, what's their language pattern like? What's their body language like? How good are their stories? Are they really good at what they do, or are they a fraud? Is their process a one-off situation that only really works from them? Is it piecemealed from, you know, 25 other trainers? Do they really have content or not? And if you're going to bring people into a meeting, you got to make sure that that meeting has a purpose, that there should be an agenda, that meetings should be limited. A meeting for having the sake of a meeting will just destroy morale. Because salespeople are like, I could be out in the field closing a deal. I could be talking to the Joneses, the Smiths, the Andersons. I could be making something happen. Why are you making me sit in a meeting? Why do I got to come into a meeting and sit through stuff because the other salespeople can't sell and I can close deals? You're punishing me. And so you start building resentment and content along with the team if people are coming in for crazy, wacky meetings. I have this belief that if you're going to come to a meeting, you're going to tell me what you learned. And if it was good content, if there was good structure to it and somebody says, I didn't learn anything, I would start looking and go like, how many times is that being said in a meeting? How many times is somebody saying, well, I really didn't get anything from it? And if it's consistent, it's like, hey, I'm going to pull that person in and say, what's going on? You know, are you not really getting anything? You know, it's a sign that they could be having a problem with their sales process. It could be a sign for something else. But if you're constantly asking people what they got out of the meeting and they're truly getting stuff, it's reinforced by all the other people saying, oh, this is what I learned as well. This is probably one of the biggest things that I see managers, sales managers struggle with, and that's having accountability conversations. Somebody's numbers are not where they should be. Somebody's not doing well when it comes to sales. And so I'm really going to give you my beliefs. In any relationship that I've ever been in, I just have this belief that the second that you yell, you lose all power. And so if I ever had to bring anybody in, I would set the ground rules. I'd say, hey, look, you know, there's some struggles going on. Whatever you've done up until this point isn't being done right. It's a disappointment. Tell me what's going on. And then they would spill their guts. They would tell me what was going on. And then I'd say, okay, what are you planning to do to fix it? What is it? What's your game plan? Because what you tell me is going to dictate, do I need to come up with a game plan for you? Because it's kind of like when you're a kid, your parents like pick your punishment. And the person would tell me. And then I would say, hey, here's what accountability is going to look like. Here's what's going to happen next. Here's what we're going to do. And I need to know unequivocally that you're engaged and you want to get this taken care of. Your sales are not where they need to be. You're not closing enough deals. Your closing rate isn't here. Your revenue per lead is not right. So tell me what your game plan is. Okay, so you got a good game plan. How do you know when you've succeeded and how do you know when you fail? And you know, when are you going to come and talk to me? Like, you have to be engaged in your life. I can't be the person that's totally engaged for you. You got to tell me what you're going to do. And if your plan doesn't work, then we're going to go to my plan. And then this last thing is something that I developed that really started helping salespeople, because here's what would happen is, let's say you go in and you talk to your sales manager and the conversation doesn't go well, you're not doing well. You already knew it going in. You already knew that you had problems. You already knew that the leads weren't being closed enough. And you already knew that you were going to have a tough conversation. You already knew it was going to be accountability. You don't know if your manager is going to yell at you or not. You don't know if you're going to get fired or not. So you already went in with a bunch of negative stuff. So then you go to the meeting. You find out that you got yelled at. You find out that they're not happy with you. You find out that, you know, it's just, it didn't work out. You're in trouble. So why would a company let you walk out the door and go take that out on the client? So what I would make the people that I worked with do, I would say, okay, I'm going to give you 3, 4, 5 minutes permission to speak freely. Get everything you want off your chest. Say whatever you want to me. Say whatever you need to say, because what you're not going to do is you're not going to take this information. You're not going to be in a bad mood, and you are not going to go take this out on the next client that you see, especially since the leads are being paid for you. You're not going out and acquiring your own leads. And, you know, I'd have salespeople, they would get mad, and everybody has their own version of anger. And I'm gonna give you an insider secret, something that I learned from an interrogator. And the interrogator said, you would be surprised at how often people do not control their emotions well when they're angry. And sometimes you will see people cry. And you have to be very careful when people are angry and they start to cry, because they're unpredictable. And I would have grown men come into a meeting and they would start crying, and like, it would turn into, these are all the problems that I'm having and this is what's going on. And then you would see physically, they would grab their composure. They would stand up. They would catch where they're at. And then like, you could feel the conversation change, and they would be like, okay, I'm going to go out and I'm going to go close deals. But they had to get the poison out. And so I'd say, like, look, you've got 5 minutes. Get the poison out. Say to me whatever you're going to say. Permission to speak freely. Whatever you say is going to be, I'm going to listen to it, unless you're being derogatory towards me, unless you're talking trash on people. If you're screaming and yelling, remember, I didn't scream and yell at you. You don't scream and yell at me. Tell me what the problems are. Tell me what's going on. I mean, I set really good ground rules. And if you're going to go down this path, you got to do the same. You got to tell them what's acceptable and not acceptable for this, you know, oops, permission to speak freely for 5 minutes. But the last thing you want to do is you want to let a sales guy or sales girl go out to meet a client that's upset. So like I said from the beginning, this is just a high level list of things that I see that I believe would really help sales managers or business owners allow for salespeople to be better at what they do.
Thanks for checking out this episode of the How to Sell Show. You can join the party at howtosell.live to get the show notes, links, updates on new episodes, recordings of previous episodes, articles, as well as videos. You may not know this sales secret, but sharing this episode with a friend will bring you good luck. See you soon. Mahalo.